Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Loki feedback. We got things to talk about, and I'm better now. All that and more right after that, we have no control over.
Welcome back, Jeff.
Thank you.
Yeah, we missed you.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm better. I'm Jeff Randall. Reynolds.
Good to have you back, buddy. Good to have you back. You were sorely missed.
Thank you. It didn't look like that according to our podcast download numbers, though.
Oh yeah, we had a really solid week this last week.
Yeah, never been higher, and I was like, I gotta get sick more often.
Just like I should be on the podcast less. I was like, no, it's not about that.
That's the only thing that's changed.
No, we're doing, for the first time we're doing three episodes a week. I think that's the bigger difference.
Maybe.
In our third chair, we have Brian V. Klein. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good now that I feel like I'm the person that contributed to all those download numbers, since I was the X Factor that was there when Jeff wasn't. So.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
I'm coming for you, Jeff.
So sub me out for Brian. Sub me out for Brian and we're good to go.
Jeff's taking all the blame. Brian's taking all the credit.
I'm going to take a real hard back seat.
And Brian's like, I have an alternate theory.
I was the variant Jeff last week, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was watching.
That's right.
It wasn't so bad that I couldn't, function. It's just that, if I put headphones on, my brain was going to explode, just from the pressure. We're past that. But I listened to you guys, and I was trying so hard to get, some sort of commentary in through the chat, but it's difficult to sit there, type a comment, and then watch them continue talking without acknowledging the comment at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, it's relevant. It's only relevant now. So
the chat's too far behind. They already moved on. And my joke was so laser. Dang.
Don't move on. Wait. Train left the station without me is what happened.
Chasing behind the bus that is our conversation, just rolling on.
Yeah, I was Peter Parker and you guys were the bus.
I was going to say 30 seconds later, we would have had a Zoom thing popping up. Why is Jeff trying to get back into the Zoom call? And he's like, I just chugged a half a bottle of NyQuil. I'm good to go. I got a joke now.
I have a joke. That was 20 minutes ago. Your comic timing couldn't be worse.
Oh, I put a hose in my nose, washed it all out, I'm good to go.
Gross.
I pulled a Daredevil neti pot.
Oh god.
Oh
yeah, that was rough.
No. I use a neti pot every night, and when I saw that, I still remember oh, that had to be dislodged up there for a long time. How could you even breathe? Anyways,
yeah.
Let's not talk about that anymore. Let's go to the feedback. We're going to send BVK here into his feedback cave, where he is going to round up some feedback for us.
BVK, go away.
That's what all the kids chant when the monster that is BVK is in their horror movie. It's like a chant from Nightmare on Elm Street or something.
You got the one kid reading the book, saying that, another kid ringing the bell, lighting a candle. Salt circle out. He's really turned into a demon.
Why do we do that? Why do we make BVK a demon in this situation?
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
This tracks.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. We got a bunch of pages of feedback. Thank you guys so much for sending in all the feedback. Really, really appreciate you guys. It really makes the show so much better to have more than our brains talking about this show. So let's do it.
Yep.
Let's do it.
Yep. We're not going to do a Jeff's corner because this whole damn show is my corner. Let's go.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is. We didn't do a Jeff's corner. Yeah.
No.
Do you want to have a Jeff's corner?
No. I honestly, literally do not want to, because I don't want to take up any more time with my shenanigans.
Okay. I respect that.
Lydia Herbert, one of our patrons, says, OMG, guys, that episode was great. I loved Loki being his cheeky and charming self. He's not had much time in the films to show himself, and that ending. I knew it was her, but still, a great reveal.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I agree.
Fully agree.
100%.
I mean, we're in just such a blessed time right now to be able to get so much time with these characters. Like, all of them. Every character from all of these shows.
It's not a TVA joke. We just love having all this time with our characters.
Do you have any time at the TVA? It's all outside of time. Let's not get into a discussion of that.
I mean, time flows differently there.
It's true. So. It's true.
I will say, Lydia, though, that was a fantastic episode. I had one small gripe that was not really even a gripe like about the characters or anything. It's just, I feel like I was kind of let down from the trailers a little bit. I feel like I was promised some Loki caused, maybe even accidentally, some historical disasters or some historical things as a part of this process or the show. And so far, they've only used the historical things like Vesuvius and D.B. Cooper just kind of for laughs.
Well, no, he caused D.B. Cooper. Like, I mean, I agree, it was for laughs.
He did that, but it wasn't as a part of the show.
Right.
Like, it wasn't as a part of the show, that's and it was
true.
Just for laughs.
That's true. This is not as much of a, like, jump through time and see different adventure moments through time. Like, this, like we thought it might
right.
be.
That's my expectations not being managed correctly by me. Like, that's that disappointment is sure. on me. Again, much like WandaVision, but on maybe a smaller scale.
Right.
So it's not a bad thing against the show. I just didn't manage my expectations. Anyway,
right.
So Jeffrey James, another one of our patrons, sent us an email, says, it's interesting that the technology that we see in the building is all from the 1960s and 1970s, but the vista of the city is very futuristic. I thought they dwelled on it too long, because a lot of it was obviously painted and not part of a 3D model, either virtual or actual. But I'm wondering whether that was intentional, because the very next thing that Loki says is, that's not real. The similarities of the TVA to the bureaucracy in the Umbrella Academy are pretty obvious, so check me on this. The comic book showed the TVA as a bureaucracy, correct? Prior to the Umbrella Academy comic? So maybe the Umbrella Academy was copying Marvel? I'm just wondering who's copying who.
Hmm.
I think that's something that I'm going to have to defer to BVK, because I don't know.
Right. Well, even then, like, the idea of a bureaucratic organization, it's not only appeared in Marvel. You know, a bureaucratic sort of like time cop sort of organization. I don't know. The Adjustment Bureau comes to mind.
Strictly a Marvel thing.
So those are not the only two verses that it's shown up in.
And comics has a history of borrowing, quote unquote, borrowing from other properties out there. So, I mean, the TVA has been around a lot longer than the Umbrella Academy. So, who knows? It's a concept that's consistent through different things. So, no, I think the TVA started in, they mentioned it last week, actually, in the Thor 378, I think, when he was going to level 378, and that was the first appearance of the TVA, and I think that was in the 80s. And obviously, the Umbrella Academy was written in the mid-2015s, I think, whenever the Jared Way from My Chemical Romance was taking a break from the band. He started writing Umbrella Academy. So,
yeah.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's just whether or not it was a bureaucracy is the question. Because, I mean, I remember reading that the Fantastic Four did a lot of, you know, they had a lot of contention with the Time Cops or whatever, the Minutemen. And they were more like, I think they were robots that just, like, showed up to be angry about variants in time, but I don't remember, like, I don't remember ever coming across them in any of the comics that I read, but, you know, I'm not, like, the big comic guy, contrary to popular belief.
And I think the MCU has a good way of taking a concept and working it, not adapting it 100%, because that way you don't know what's coming. You sort of have a feel, but at least you get the general idea, but you're not, you know what's going to happen, so, which is great.
They massage it a little bit.
Yeah. Like, here's where we're going with it, but
to fit the narrative, right?
Yeah. Mephisto confirmed, right?
Yeah. Yep. We're getting Mephisto in exactly the right way that Mephisto would have come in if they were, like, directly lifting it from comics. That's exactly what I've what I've taken in from watching all of these things. It's the information that I gathered from it. You may be wrong, but, you know, that's your prerogative.
There is interesting that they go with the 60s and 70s or even like 50s aesthetic on some of these shows, because like, I guess it kind of is the earliest technology where it seems like you could even have this, like a controller for this device. Like, what's an earlier tech? Like, you can't run around with typewriters and do much with this.
Tell that to the hipsters.
Yeah, hipster time travelers. I just think about, like, if you're wanting a retro look, where do you go? Like, because if you use them, like, the aesthetic of today, you just end up with, like, iPads. And if you try to look forward, right, you end up with, like, fancy iPads because people don't have that much imagination, or, like, holographic interfaces. So, like, yeah, if you're trying to go retro, yeah, I feel like this sort of era makes a lot of sense.
I like the Minority Report version where it's, you know, it's all,
oh yeah,
hand gestures, and
he's like, that's using how I control my computer, sling ring or whatever.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. Next up, we got Caliber Explosion, and another patron says, if Loki was pulled from 2012, why would the TVA show him his future? They're already concerned about the fact that he disrupted the sacred timeline by removing himself with the Tesseract, and he is the god of mischief. Wouldn't it be in their best interest to not show him his future, or his determined future, for the sake of him pulling a fast one on him, just to go back to his timeline to do the opposite?
I don't think they care. I think that they don't think of him as a threat. Like you say here, Caliber Explosion, that he is the god of mischief, but to them that means nothing. Like, they say it in this episode, they're like, well, we've tracked hundreds of you Lokis. Like, you Lokis are a very common, yeah, variant. And we're like, apparently not a big deal normally. It's just this one Loki is particularly bad that they're dealing with, this the female Loki.
Yeah. In the first episode, he said, like, you know, I specialize in the tracking of especially dangerous variants. You know, not like you. You're just a little pussycat.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they really don't seem to have any respect for him at all.
Yeah, like none whatsoever. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess they're pulling a Cad Bane. Like, once you figured out one Loki, you've figured them all out.
Who is Cad Bane? What are you talking about?
Cad Bane is a bounty hunter in the Star Wars universe. He showed up on the most recent episode of Bad Batch.
Ah, okay.
He basically was like, you know, you figure out how to take down one clone, you've figured out how to take them all down.
Like, right.
I'm
right.
Not going to be surprised by you. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, little cross Disney joke there. Anyway, I'm only a little bit embarrassed by it.
Oh, don't be. Bad Batch is a hell of a show.
It is so good. It's so good. Anyway. We're talking about Loki. We're talking about Loki. Damn it.
Yeah, we are.
Let's see. Ken Wong says, Matt was saying, my home state is brought up for the first time in the MCU and they're destroying it. And he says, remember, Matt, Alabama's a people, not a place.
That's my favorite feedback of the week. Thank you, Ken. I will do my best to remember that after 2050 and the Alabama Ragnarok, that Alabama is a people, not a place. Thank
it's,
you.
It's not an Alabama Ragnarok. You pronounced it wrong. It's Ragnarok.
Ragnarok. That's not.
Ragnarok.
I don't know anyone that talks like that.
You ain't never had to get a wash rag. Yeah, I kind of felt the same way whenever the episode took us that direction. It was like the guy said Haven Hills, Alabama. I was like, hold on, what? Where? Like, immediately pulled out maps on the phone. I was like, that's not a place. It's not a real place. Damn it, Marvel.
Yet, Jeff. Yet.
Yet. Yeah. We're going to make it a place, and then it's going to get wiped off the map.
Let's do that. That seems like a good use of our lives.
They're calling their shot. Yeah, we're going to... That's the Stranded Panda community. Like, the physical community of Stranded Panda is going to be Haven Hills.
We need to, like, create Haven Hills, Alabama on Google and make it redirect to, like, have a website that redirects to Stranded Panda.
Oh my god.
Yeah, right?
It's not like that's ever happened before.
I'm not gonna do that yet. Yeah, there, no, that idea has never come up.
No, there's somebody did that with an island. Oh, we did it. Wait, we did it. Did we do it? I think we might have done it back on Pursuit of the Trivial. Wow. I was like, somebody did that. And then I was like, I think we did. Like, I think Spencer created Pursuit of the Trivial Island. It was like an island in the middle of a pond. And he like claimed it on Google that it was Pursuit of the Trivial Island. And then like, I don't know, just to be silly.
I like it. Well, I guess we can't do that since it's not an original thing anymore.
No, man, we can totally do that. Original.
Okay. Steven Abramowitz sent us an email to Guys and Ash. I don't know why he says it like a question mark.
Because she's not here. See?
Okay. Yeah, okay. So it's it's us, but also Ash, since she's not here. Holy shit. Bleep, what's up with that on the cast now? Apple edit? Anyway, you opened a huge Pandora's box. If Grant, last seen in Logan, is old man Loki, there are no space lizards. There is Loki running the TVA. Right? OMG. Huge. Young variant Loki wins by using Mobius and Mobius to take over the most powerful force in the universe, quote unquote. I'm gonna burn this place to the ground. Mind blown. Those are some big swings.
I love the idea that that actor is playing an older version of Loki. He totally fits the part. And like, I love the idea that he might be behind the TVA in some form. Maybe he's one of the space lizards. I call them space lizards so much I can't remember what they're actually called sometimes.
Timekeepers.
I know right now, but
I want it to be. You're going to hate me for this, Matt, but the timekeepers are just an idea. They're dead. They're gone. They are no more. But the person who took over, played by Richard E. Grant, still allows the idea of them to permeate.
Right.
So that his position as the leader or whatever, the ruler of time, is solidified and safe. So that Mephisto can do whatever he wants.
Oh, yeah, possibly. But he also could just be like Loki pulling what he pulled on Odin, you know, taking the throne from the timekeepers and then like letting everyone think it's still the timekeepers so they keep serving faithfully. Yep. When it's really Loki on the throne of the TVA, whatever that means.
Yeah, it's Loki on the throne, but actually it's Mephisto.
Nope, I refuse to acknowledge any of the last part of your theory.
It's like you had me in the first half.
To answer Steve Provost's first question about the bleeping. Yeah, so we found out that we were getting like way less traction on YouTube, supposedly, because of curse words, which we don't do much anyway. Like we maybe curse once or twice an episode, if that. So we've always said we wanted to stay in like the PG-13 range. So like, it's just not a big deal to bleep. And then once it's a bunch of extra editing for me to bleep for the YouTube and not for the podcast edit. So I've just been bleeping. Plus we've had a lot of people write in saying they listen to their with their kids. And one guy even wrote in, I wish I could remember his name. One guy wrote in and said, oh yeah, I listened to it. And then to make sure there's nothing in there too objectionable. And then I go listen to it with my kid. And I was like, oh, so at least we can take out the curses. It's like, if it's already good for the YouTube channel anyway, like, but if there's like a big uproar that we should leave the curses in, let us know. We're happy to serve. But I at this juncture, we've also just gotten big enough that like, it makes sense to try to clean things up and be all legit and not be too offensive.
Yeah. It makes it seem a little bit more, real.
Yeah, thanks to all of you guys. The show has gotten a chance to grow, and like a lot of that is you guys putting in the 5-star reviews and stuff. So thank you. We've hit pretty high on the charts during Loki because it's just the most a really popular show right now, and we're one of the bigger shows covering it, or at least one of the more visible ones when you search for Loki. We're right there. So thank you guys. That's because of you guys. So thank you.
Emily Sissel sent us a tweet, says, so I'm thinking that these time bombs and branches breaking out the multiverse are why Wanda can hear her kiddos at the end of WandaVision. The multiverse opens and Wanda can then hear her kids and get them back, or something along those lines as we get more info about all these branches. We also have the theory that the variant is actually Old Man Loki, and what we think is Lady Loki is actually Enchantress, aka Loki's daughter, and she is doing some of his dirty work for him.
Hmm. I didn't realize, I'd heard the theory that she was Enchantress going around. I'd never heard that she was his daughter. I guess I don't know the character of Enchantress at all.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, Enchantress Amora was not related to anybody. Like, she wanted to marry Thor and, like, have him be basically a thrall. And she had Executioner, Scourge, as her, like, always there with her kind of dude. But yeah, as far as, like, being related to anybody, I don't know. The only family I can think of is Lorelei. That was her sister. And we actually saw a Lorelei in... It was the episode Yes Men in, I think it was season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so her sister, basically. Roughly the same kind of powers.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, so the other thing Emily mentions is the thing about the multiverse and possibly the multiverse breaking out right here. The bomb on the sacred timeline might be why Wanda is able to hear her children. And I think that's a good call. And it is very possible that this is happening before. See, here's the thing. It's possible this is happening before WandaVision. But what does before mean to the TVA?
Yeah. Like, yeah, it really doesn't matter if the sacred timeline got bombed anywhere along it and things are spinning out. It doesn't matter when
it doesn't matter when it happened. Those timelines just now exist and can now interact with the sacred timeline. If Wanda lives in the sacred timeline, which we're assuming at this point she does, then it doesn't matter. It just somehow she is existing after the multiverse had been created or recreated or whatever. So, yeah. I don't know.
Reset.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see. Jack Brencho said, guys, you mentioned something in the week one podcast that I think is absolutely right, but then you proved yourselves wrong. But I think you're right.
Interesting.
You mentioned Wanda was searching the multiverse for her children, but the multiverse couldn't exist. Think about the timing, though. Loki is set during Endgame, whilst WandaVision is set after it. Wanda may be the first person to tap into the multiverse in that last scene of WandaVision. And that goes right along with
exactly
that.
What we're saying. Yeah, just exactly the same thing. It's like, yes, you're right, Jack, but also, what does after mean to the TVA? Like, we just don't know how they interact with time, except they kind of look at it as one big thing. So, yes, if she is communicating with the multiverse, it would have had to happen in the universe that exists after these branches have been created.
Well, like, if you look at the timeline itself, there's a bunch of branches going out.
Right.
Like, across the whole timeline. So, you know, after that has been created is literally any point in time.
Exactly. Exactly.
She just has to exist. And she does. Well, we know that it's not in the 5 years that everybody was gone.
Right. I have no idea what you mean by that, but we'll come back to that in a second. Somehow the TVA is existing with a forward momentum of time. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, how... We do not understand how the TVA... It's almost like the TVA's time is a completely different beast than the way our time flows. It flows differently here.
Yeah, their time flows relative to them.
Right.
But not relative to the rest of the sacred timeline. Or the rest of the multiverse.
Exactly. So when Jack says this happens during Endgame and this happens post Endgame, that is an anachronism. Like,
yeah, it happens at all of those times.
Yeah, this is happening at all of the times. Yeah,
this always happens.
That WandaVision, if she is reaching out to the multiverse, would have to be happening after this event happens, according to the TVA. That's so confusing. It's so hard to talk about.
So, from the perspective of the TVA, it happens after, but it really doesn't matter because, you know, multiverse, timeline, whatever. And to circle back, what I meant was it's not in the 5-year span where everybody was blipped, because she was also gone. So she didn't exist at that point.
Oh, sure. But we know that. We know that it doesn't happen there because she...
Yeah, right. Because she's experiencing it after. There is still a branch of the multiverse, probably. Like, we saw where all the branches were going. Like, theoretically, there could be one or more branches that were within that 5-year blip that is split off to where, like, you know, this is a bad time where nothing gets fixed.
Oh, like the blip still exists in that other branch. Or, like, the blip was never fixed. Yeah, right. That's true.
Yeah, like...
But somehow her children exist, so we're assuming that either the blip didn't happen, or she came back from the blip and created them, or they were created, their souls were reincarnated into other bodies somehow, as the comics sort of do.
Yeah. Or it could be completely unrelated to this this branching multiverse. Mm-hmm. Could be completely unrelated.
She could be reaching to another dimension, like an afterlife. Or she could be hearing them as pieces of Mephisto's soul or whatever. Like, they could be in another dimension instead of another timeline.
I mean, they could have been recreated in space.
In space.
Across the galaxy. Yeah. This was Coulson or Sarge in season 6.
Oh, that's right.
Six.
By the Shrike. The Shrike could have recreated her children. That's probably what happened.
Yeah. The Shrike could have recreated her children somewhere else across the galaxy. Yeah. She's going to go get them.
That's we solved it. All right, next couple here.
We got there. The boss sent us a tweet at MCUcast. Do you think the twist in Loki is that multiple timelines do exist and TVA's job is to keep each one separate from each other? Or that it's possible for multiple timelines to exist, which female Loki is trying to make alive? TVA just want one timeline, maybe, you know, for control or anything like that.
To talk about that one, the boss, I feel awkward that I have to call you the boss, but I'm okay with it.
Enigma 57.
Enigma 57.
You can call him Enigma 57.
It could be Bruce Springsteen, so I'm going to call him the boss.
Okay. I guess it's better than Edward Nygma.
Yeah, true. Do you think the twist in Loki... is it multiple timelines do exist? I think that's interesting. We had a couple of things about this written in. We may get to them, but like people saying things like, why do we trust Ms. Minutes at all? Like, why do we think that propaganda piece? Because we know she's being, well, we think she's being overly doting on the timekeepers. Is anything she said true? Did the multiverse exist? Is there a sacred timeline? Or is this all just, you know, puffery to keep people under control that they want to keep under control?
Puffery. I like it.
Thanks. My thinking on that is that she is, not only is Miss Minutes a propaganda piece, which she, I think she is within the story, but as she functions for the show, she is exposition. And I think it would be bad writing to have her give a 5-minute explainer on what is going on in the first episode, and then in the last episode go...
just for it to be completely
just
wrong.
Just kidding. Like here, watch six...
gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. Watch 6 episodes of this show. We're establishing what is going on, and then we're going to have you operate in the world as if that's going on.
These are the rules. Nope.
I think it's possible there's some piece of it that she's like... and I think it's very likely that the timekeepers... are not all they're cracked up to be, according to Miss Minutes and according to Mobius. But
right,
I think that the basic
structure...
I think
the major beats...
Yeah.
Yeah. The skeleton is still the same, but maybe the face, the mask of it is quite... or is not quite the same.
Sure.
It's a little different. You know, they're tyrants, if you think about it from the control aspect. You know, they're controlling... multiple universes worth of people. That's a lot. That's a lot of control to implement. We're all cattle to them, basically.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could also be that, you know, depending on what could happen, depending on the bad things of, you know, multiverses clashing together and having the multiversal war or whatever, could be a good reason for it.
Right.
But we don't know at this point because we haven't gotten to talk to them. We haven't even gotten to see them, actually.
Yeah, totally. It fascinates me to think that, like, we are thinking these TV, at least I am. And honestly, I hear a lot of people really being TVA / timekeeper defenders. A lot of people are like, no, the timekeeper
apologists.
They are. And I'm like, I don't see why everybody thinks these timekeepers are so, so good. Like, I think Ms. Minutes is pure propaganda.
They're so benevolent.
They do. Like, everyone's like, yeah, but you got to protect the timeline. I'm like, why are you guys worshiping the timekeepers? They're like, surely.
Their powers are beyond us, man. this is the most powerful force in the universe.
I'm not going for it. I'm not going for the timekeepers. Like, I think it's likely that they have a good point. I mean, a multiverse war sounds really bad.
Yeah, it does. I mean, if you keep talking like that, you're going to get pruned, and I don't want to be pruned, Matt.
you accept our new timekeeper overlords?
I mean, they've done okay for me so far. Enigma 57 in another tweet says, Adams, you cast the universal themes in each of the TV shows, trauma/grief, racism, equality, and fate, destiny, religion, philosophy. Every one of them is a home run.
Mm.
I agree. It has been stellar. I had somebody messaged me today. One of my coworkers was like, okay, so I watched Loki this weekend. How is it so good? And I was like, well, it's because Marvel Studios is directly involved.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, okay, was WandaVision this good? And I was like, WandaVision is going to blow your fucking mind. Mm-hmm. Yes. Go watch all of it. It's all out. Like, you can binge the whole thing. Like, honestly, I envy her
right. Being
able to go and just binge watch the whole thing without having to, like, sit there for a week at a time in between each one going, what does it mean? I was like, you're going to want to watch the first four, like, all at once,
mm-hmm. Just
right out of the gate so that, you know, you get really hooked. And then when you're done with that, go and watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier because it was also awesome. Somehow, people haven't seen some of these shows. I don't know how. I don't know why. All the advertising is there.
You know, a lot of people don't have Disney Plus yet. And, like, I think a lot of people, like, there's a little bit of that, like, subscription fatigue that's happening where people are like, well, I've already got Netflix and Hulu. And, like, when I hear people talk about whatever, I don't even know, CBS or Paramount Plus or whatever, I start to be like, okay, my eyes are glazing over. You got to give me a reason to get on it. Which they did because Star Trek. But, like, that's a bad example, but there are other ones that I definitely get, like, glaze over, and I'm like, I don't care about that. And if I were looking at it from the outside, like, not being a Marvel fan who, like, follows this stuff and talks about it on a podcast, if I thought all the shows were going to be like Marvel's previous shows, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that, like, I might not have bought Disney Plus right away. I might have waited and, like, oh, I'll binge it one day or whatever. But I am that guy, so I love it. I think they've been great.
I mean, there was a considerable amount of time.
A considerable.
There was a while where I was, like, not on board the HBO Max train or the HBO, you know, HBO Go, whatever, because, like, there wasn't anything that I just was, like, solidly wanting to watch on there. Like,
right. Maybe
Game of Thrones at the time, but, like, I was saying to my wife, like, we could get HBO Max for, like, a month and just binge the entirety of Game of Thrones and then cancel it once we've caught up on the rest of our shows and have time to do that. And we still haven't done that, but that's beside the point. But, you know, it is kind of subscription fatigue in that, like, you know, we cut the cord on cable, but then we get all of these other subscriptions and it's like, oh, this is the same cost as, you know, it's a split cost across all of these different subscriptions now. I myself, I lucked out in that I got a year of Disney Plus for free from, I think it was from Verizon. And then now Disney Plus and Hulu and I think ESPN Plus are all part of my phone subscription at this point.
That's so great. Like,
I just get those for free and I pay a little bit extra for the Hulu no ads thing. It's like $6 That's extra great. A month. So, like, Verizon offers that. Like, you can get Disney Plus just go get one of the more expensive phone carrier plans that exist.
I think you're right. I think that people just are getting that subscription fatigue. And I think it may be a thing where people eventually come and like catch up on it. And who knows, maybe Disney Plus will really gain in subscribers once these shows really get around. And I think Loki, if our numbers are any indication, I think Loki is more popular than either of those other two shows so far. I think that more people are following along.
I feel like compared to the other characters that have been kind of the star of those shows, Loki, especially, you know, Tom Hiddleston just as a whole, has been a more popular character throughout the history of the MCU.
Well, he's someone who's from phase one, you know?
Yeah, yeah. He's been there since, you know, Thor number one. And, you know, he really came into his own in Avengers. Like, he had the entirety of Hall H at San Diego Comic-Con, like, kneeling to him or, like, shouting his name when he came out on stage in costume.
That's,
you know,
amazing.
He's like, "Say my name." And they were like, "Oh, God." And he's like, "Ah." He ate that shit up.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
But, dude, like, you know, the character is super popular. So I guess it makes sense, you know? I guess it makes sense for that.
Yeah.
I wish that people saw the awesomeness that is WandaVision before now. Cause like, I feel like, you know, we've been in this kind of echo chamber with the rest of the Stranded Panda community of like, it's so good. And everybody's like, "Oh, I know, it's so good." But then like, we're the only one saying it.
Right.
You know, everybody who's a mega fan already loves it.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's getting around. I mean, like, I showed my mom an episode last week, or actually it was about a couple weeks ago, and she's been talking about how good it was, and how she wants to go finish it. And I'm like, "Great, you're in for a weird ride because you have no idea what it's about. You just saw that first episode." I was like, "It's going to be weird. I'm excited."
Was it Loki or WandaVision that you showed her? Okay. Yeah, when I showed my mom WandaVision, she just watched all of it that day immediately.
That's rad. My mom doesn't know any of the Marvel stuff though, so like she's seen a few of the movies, you know, but like hasn't followed it really. And so watching it, she just was like, "What is this old TV show?" I was like, "Oh no, it's not old, it's new." She fully bought in.
No, not old, very new.
Let's get back to the feedback. We got a voicemail up next, sorry. Actually. Okay. I will play that voicemail now.
I don't have to read.
Hey guys, I was also calling to see if y'all sign up on this idea. What if it's Loki trying to like become the ruler of like all time pretty much? So he wants to overthrow the timekeepers. He gets to the end when he finally meets them and it's Kang. And Kang is the one who ultimately kills Loki. I don't know. It just kind of seems like they're setting up Kang because, I mean, we know he's going to be in Quantumania. And I very much doubt that Kang would be taken out, you know, by Ant-Man and the Wasp. He's such a big villain that I don't think that, you know, I know he's going to be introduced and he's going to be the villain in that one, or he's going to be the villain in that one. But I don't think they would introduce and one off him in one movie. So I think this Loki show is setting up Kang. I don't know. I want to so badly believe that Kang is the one to be the main villain of his Loki show, and that he somehow got like the Fantastic Four captures or something. I really just want to see the Fantastic Four in this show, and I hope that, you know, they kept it secret enough to where it's a legit surprise. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Hey man, love you 3000 too. I don't think he said his name, but thanks for calling in. What do you think?
I love it. I love the theory. I, you know, just outside of the obvious, Reed Richards being great for my draft, my hero draft. Outside of that, I really like the idea of Kang being introduced in this time, you know, related show the way that this is. I mean, it's right up his alley. It's bread and butter for him.
Right.
Like, of course it makes the most sense for Kang to show up here. And then for the quantum realm to have been how like Tony Stark and co figured out how to use how to access time travel, for that to kind of be like the next logical step to finding Kang, or the next logical step in as far as the movies go,
yeah,
for Kang to show up, because like Quantumania being the next one, like it tracks and to the point of the Fantastic Four, like you were saying, Hank Pym and Reed Richards are, you know, two of the biggest brains on the planet, and they work together a lot. So it would be really easy to have old man Hank Pym say, you know, I used to know the scientist, and like recognize Reed, and you know, these guys have been gone for a while. I don't know where they've been. Oh wait, we found them here in the quantum realm, or like in a different place, you know, at the end of time or wherever Kang is. You know, they've been captured. Much the same way that Mephisto had them captured, and I wanted that theory to pan out with Doctor mm-hmm. Strange. Basically, I just want Reed Richards and family to have been captured and then just show up.
I do feel like a lot of the Kang theories going around, it does feel a lot like Mephisto, like the same sort of theories that we were all batting around. But like it feels more likely to me, as someone who didn't really care for the Mephisto theories all that much. Like I thought it's likely. I thought Mephisto was pretty likely too. I guess I wasn't emotionally invested because I don't care about him from comics or anything. But I find Kang's story much more interesting, and it really aligns with what's going on here. The idea that there's someone at the edge of time making time flow a certain way, making time happen a certain way, so that's what Kang does. That's literally what Kang does. And like they even say in this episode, like the timekeepers have this much of the timeline finished, but they're at the end of time and they're crafting their final moments or whatever. Like they're still crafting it. And like that's Kang, right? Like that's what he does, is he like rewrites time to make himself stronger and better. And this feels like the kind of thing he would do. Like create a little
rewrites
bureaucracy to do that for him, you know?
Yeah. He's just automating things, that's all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
He's just got time control on autopilot.
What do you think the likelihood is that the TVA is in the quantum realm?
50%. They either are or they are not.
I'm going like 90. I think it's 90% that like the TVA is in the quantum realm. I think there's a good bit of evidence to that effect.
I don't say this often, but I agree with Mad.
Hey, go back to your cave.
Obviously, they've dropped stuff between. They've dropped stuff with A saying that time flows differently here, like they did in that, the quantum realm.
That line is clearly like a nod to the other line. Time moves differently here.
Yeah,
and also that picture, the one they showed in Ant-Man and the Wasp, I think that city that was in the quantum realm sort of has a look like
the
TVA,
little blink and you miss city.
Yeah,
that's what I've been saying since I think our first Loki episode. Like I think the city that they showed kind of resembles that city that we see a glimpse of in Ant-Man.
Tom Fitzgerald sent us a Facebook message. Hey guys, listening to your discussion about the trial that the variants stand. My thoughts on this are that if the variant is there, not by their own doing, and they are a victim of a new timeline, then they are found not guilty and are then housed in the TVA and that huge infrastructure and put to work in some capacity, maybe as a chef or an agent, depending on their skill set. Keep up the fantastic work.
That is possible, that they like make them indentured servants. Like if they're not guilty, then they still have to be servants of the TVA. That's kind of dark too. Like there's no real positive to having those trials and having them. I don't know. There's no real positives to the TVA, honestly. Like unless the war has to be real bad for it to be worth them deciding that no one else has freedom. You know?
Right. Yeah. Like this is the way that you have to live.
It's not good.
It's troubling. It's
why I don't get why everyone is acting like they're worshiping the TVA. I don't get it.
Andre Sparks says, "Hey Jeff, Matt, and Ashley." Thank you, Andre. He says, "We have been thinking that one of the timekeepers is Kang, but what if he starts out as an agent like Mobius?" In the office scene, they continuously bring up the mysterious other agent a lot. What do you all think? Who do you think it could be? Take care, Andre. Honestly, I just think the other analyst that Mobius keeps bringing up is just an offhand thing where she says, you're not the only other, or you're not the only analyst working for me. It's just for him to have his little sprinkling of yeah. jealousy.
I think it can be interpreted that way for sure. And I think they want it to be interpreted that way, but I think there may be something to this that like, maybe there's something going on.
Yeah, they want it to be interpreted that way, so it's obviously Mephisto.
Well, you were telling me, BVK, right before we started recording, and I feel like this is okay. I guess this is comics knowledge, so if you don't want to know any comics knowledge, don't listen to the next 30 seconds. But BVK, you were telling me this character, how do you say her name?
Ravonna Renslayer.
Ravonna Renslayer.
She, in the comics, has a connection to Kang, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Kang pretty much, like, just lusted after her.
Okay, so what if Kang is, like, a TVA agent that is, like, working towards... Like he's a normal TVA agent right now, but then he gets disillusioned with the Timekeepers and does, like, try to take over from them, and then that becomes Kang. And then he exits the Quantum Realm, and, you know, we meet her other... her other guy, and it's Tick from Lovecraft Country. I don't remember his real name. The guy's playing Kang.
Jonathan something?
Jonathan Majors.
That's it. I think a lot of the Kang theories have, like, merit. But again, it could be the next Mephisto. I'm never saying it's for sure, but it, like, they're seeming impossible.
Kang-Fisto confirmed.
I think they're putting a little bit more into this than... the Mephisto in WandaVision. I mean, just having Renslayer in there is a little bit more of a direct thing. And plus, we know Kang is coming.
Yeah, I do think there's something about Mephisto with WandaVision where it was just like, it got to the point where everything that represented the dark side of, like, demons and such became a confirmation of Mephisto. But we're watching a show about Scarlet Witch, right? Like, and it's these witches, like, so some of it I think was definitely like a nod towards Mephisto, and other things were just like, oh, that's just a witchy thing to say, you know, or Mephisto is going to show up very soon.
Well, yeah, what if Mephisto is the other agent now, and it's like, wait a second, no, wrong show, you're pulling right. this into the wrong thing, you're like, son of a bitch, guys, right. come on.
Of course, it could be
damn it. Not like this.
It could be the same thing we're saying, though, because we're also saying all that stuff about Kang being possible, but a lot of the reasons we think it's possible is because it's people dealing with time travel and trying to set up a timeline that makes sense for them, but that also could just be the Timekeepers, you know?
Yeah.
TVA's mission in comics is not the same. So it does seem weird that they change their mission here to this thing that is very Kang-like.
Well, the character of Ravonna Renslayer is also very different here than mm-hmm. it was in the comics.
Is she like a princess?
Yeah, she's a princess of a rival kingdom, like the last bastion standing against Kang in his conquering of Earth in, like, the 30th or 40th century or whatever it is.
40th century Earth. She's a daughter of King Corellius.
Oof.
Yeah. It's not anything even related to the TVA. So...
It's the name, though. I don't know, maybe... You don't pull that name.
Yeah, the name tracks. The name is there. So, you know, it could just be that this is how they adapted it, or this right. could lend merit to the theory that she was plucked out of the timeline and put to work in the TVA.
Yeah, that's possible.
That whole indentured servitude thing. And she could, you know, be snapped out of it and be like, I'm a princess. How dare you?
We talked about this. I don't know if you're here for this part, Jeff, but...
I was here for all of it.
The idea that these people who are in the TVA, like, it's said that the Timekeepers created them. But is that true? Like, is that one of the things that Ms. Minutes is lying about, you know? Could it be that, like,
right.
they're from other timelines and such that, we've talked about? Like, they're versions from other timelines that are just brought here. Kind of like what this person's saying, but maybe it's not just variants. Maybe it's just, like, complete other timelines they destroyed that are being taken in and put to work as the TVA. Somehow
well,
rewritten.
I mean, if Well, here's okay. Ooh, this is a big one. Follow me on this.
Okay, swing it, swing away, buddy.
It has nothing to do with Mephisto, okay?
Okay, I like this. I like this theory better than any of your other theories.
I already like it. In WandaVision, we had people that were enslaved by Wanda to play certain parts, and they didn't, as far as we know, they were aware of it within themselves. But what if something similar to that, but extrapolated, like on a larger scale, is happening with the TVA, in that these people were plucked out of the timeline and then put to work, and the timekeepers or the TVA did create this person that we see. They created this persona and applied it to that person. So when they get snapped out of it, they revert back to their old persona, or, you know, some weird combination of either a person that was watching all of that happen, similar to WandaVision, or they just drop the facade.
Yeah, it's possible. We had someone write in something similar about, like, how this TVA sort of feels like the people from WandaVision. The fact that they have such, like,
yeah,
like their storylines are thin. Like the fact that Casey doesn't know what a fish is, you know, like almost like this is all right. A show or something, which could be.
Yeah. He's lived his whole life behind a desk. That doesn't make sense unless he's a robot or
buckets.
Well, he eats, though. I was thinking that because it was the whole them being in the lunchroom last week, unless that's just a...
Yeah, you know, with the salad. With the salad.
Yeah, with the salad and the juice box and the...
Yeah.
Sometimes I can see your theory works a bit, where it's just like, yeah, they were put in there, but they have all their previous life wiped.
This idea of it just being a trick, like, what if this is all, like, a trick to, like... Just a trick for Loki. Like, this is all some sort of fever dream, or like a world being created for him.
Tahiti.
Yeah.
This is Tahiti for him.
I mean, that's a really bad idea, because it would just be like, it's similar to what we did it said earlier. Like, here's the rules of the show. Oh, rules are gone. Those rules don't matter anymore. New rules.
Wop, 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 wop.
How about we hit a few of the live feedbacks?
We have John Samosky on YouTube wrote, if there are variants and we saw so many different Lokis, how do these exist if the branches are not allowed? Shouldn't there only be one Loki?
It's a really good question. And I had a lot of conversation with someone over on Facebook about this week. The problem is that those Lokis seem to have be pretty damn different, right? Like, and even the female Loki, like, how did she make it to where she is? If she is female Loki, how did she make it to the age she is without causing a tangent large enough to be pruned? Or was it like a Moses situation? Did her did her parents take her in a little basket to an apocalypse when she was a baby and like help let her live an apocalypse her whole life? Because that's a weird way to live.
We run from one apocalypse to the next.
Yeah, right? Like, that's kind of fun. You get the Moses thing, right?
That's a fun life.
They put him in the basket to go down the river or whatever.
Yeah. It's fine. What could go wrong with that theory? Nothing.
but again, like, how did she get the age she is if she's just, you know, if they prune things quickly? My best thought on this is that, like, some branches aren't different enough to create enough variance energy right away. Like, some things happen and they're so crazy, they're so different that they like immediately have so much variance energy the TVA shows up, like Loki disappearing with the Tesseract, clearly. But like other differences, they're small enough that branch, it takes a while for that branch to cross the red line, so they're less priority, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
but that doesn't make sense to me, but it like it's logically consistent at least.
I don't like it. I don't like the theory, but I'm going to present it because it kind of fits the rules.
Yeah, it fits the rules. I don't love it.
If you remember, Loki was looking through the files, and when he got to Asgard, there was a little thing on there about like how much variance there was, like plus minus or whatever. So like every event has an amount of variance. And I believe like based on, you know, what I've seen, you know, the theory that I'm formulating is that once, you know, based on what they said, the amount of variance energy builds up until it creates an offshoot. So there can be some amount of play. There can be some amount of variance. So Loki existing, but as a female and still doing all the normal things is fine.
The sacred timeline is intact.
Until it gets to a point.
Whoever is controlling this, and at the end of time, they're looking at it and going, okay, we still end up in the same place, so that's fine. But if you do something that's extreme enough that it creates its own offshoot, you have to be pruned. But I feel like female Loki would be a pretty big thing to be pruned.
Not necessarily. I mean, if that Loki still progresses through Loki's life as normal,
does the
you
same
know, goes
things
through, gets killed
Loki
by Thanos.
Did,
then gender doesn't really matter. As far as the Loki variants that they show in the little hologram or whatever, my thought on that is each of those things, each of those instances of Loki was what caused the branch in the timeline. And him being that form or whatever, the Hulk Loki, the whatever other versions, like those had to be pruned and they had to be hunted and eradicated. And
all
they
this,
were, you know,
all this makes sense. And it makes sense with the idea of the river from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the sticks and the dams and all that stuff. It also makes sense with the time stone thing. The ancient one says, like, as long as you bring it back, it's not going to create a dark timeline or whatever. But that also that almost makes it sound like the ancient one understands that the sacred timeline is a thing. But to avoid going into that, what doesn't make sense, though, is the sentence that Ms. Minutes says where she's like, or if you miss a day of work.
Well, if you miss a day of work when you were not supposed to miss a day of work, it's anything that doesn't follow the thing when enough variance energy has built up.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, so we're sitting here saying that there's a little bit of play. But then they say, or you miss a day of work. And I guess that like, or you're late to work is what they say. It's like, I guess it's only if you're late to work. It's not if you weren't supposed to miss it. It's that you being late to work and you weren't supposed to, and whatever the butterfly effect causes of that being late to work are so great that it causes a branch in the timeline.
Right. It seems like an oversimplification to say, or you're late to work, or you were late to work, because
it does.
That doesn't seem like something that would cascade and cause some sort of monumental, universal failure in the timeline. But I guess it could.
It could, absolutely. Like, the butterfly effect thing makes it so that that's absolutely a possibility, but I wish they'd explained that. I wish Ms. Minutes had said that in her thing, that, like, if you miss, or you miss a day of work and it causes so much variance that it it makes it seem it didn't do a good job explaining that, if that's how it works. And
I think that whole sequence is supposed to be shown to people who are destined to be reset or pruned.
Sure.
So it doesn't really matter.
Right.
They can show them this little cartoon to be like, hey, you know, here's the thing. Okay. And this makes it better, sure, yeah.
Well, maybe, but it's before the trial, so it could be that they're going to be TVA agents, like Loki ends up.
Who knows?
So, anyway.
I mean, it seems like that's an unprecedented thing, is the feel that I got for it, is him being a part of the TVA is not supposed to have happened.
I don't see that,
but like, why would he have a jacket? Why would they have a jacket that says variant on
my
the back?
My point is, I don't think it's rare that people are taken in from the TVA and use their skill sets are used, but it seems like a Loki being used was what was controversial, because they're like, no, he's dangerous. Like, he's clearly a villain. He's going to stab you in the back. Like, why would you bring him in here? Like, he can't be trusted.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of things they keep saying. They don't go like, you can't use a variant. They go, you can't use that guy. He's an asshole. you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I I don't know necessarily that they have given me the feeling that it's just Loki. It feels like B-15 wants to prune everybody. Like, reset everybody, prune everybody, it doesn't matter, any variant,
sure,
gone.
Sure.
But that could just be B-15. I don't know.
Right.
I haven't...
But she's the...
I haven't had enough given to me, enough evidence shown to me to say that it is all variants or just Loki variants.
She's the example they've given us of that kind of soldier, of sort of the military wing of the TVA, and like... I assume
it's
that
my field op,
right? And even the other ones, like we saw that one that went back and decided not to
take
look
a ticket,
right. They're all kind of rough. They're all kind of gruff. They disintegrate that guy. It's just like they just seem ready to do what they have to do to protect the timeline, and they don't really seem to care about the variants. They don't. Mobius may be weird in that. Mobius may be the only one who cares about some of these variants.
Yeah, he seems to be, like, of all the people that we've seen at the TVA, he seems to be the main one that, like, cares about people at all, regardless of where they are in the timeline.
Yeah.
Because, like, that one agent was, like, tearing through their stuff, and he's like, dude, like, chill. Like, these people are scared.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, well, they're about to die. Of course they're scared. And he's like, not supposed to be scared of us. We're the good guys.
Yeah, I liked that line a lot. Like, we don't need to add to their trauma, you know? What else you got in the live in the live feedback?
Okay, Vermillion One says, so there's a second season confirmed coming. You guys think we're getting a cliffhanger? There's a lot of theories about where the show is going, but what about how the show gets us there? Any narrative devices you would hope for?
I don't think there'll be a cliffhanger, personally. I think it might be that there's a... Because I think they're going to, whatever story they tell here is going to be picked up in other shows. Now, the cliffhanger might be, oh no, the multiverse exists. And what are we
going to
do?
I don't think it's going to be a cliffhanger for Loki. I think his story is going to be like nicely buttoned up, but there's going to be lasting consequences from what happened here, like consequences for the multiverse or consequences for, you know, the MCU. I think the events here are going to shape the future of the MCU and probably the past. Because it's
and the second season could be about a variant Loki too.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yep.
That's true. Could be absolutely different show. Like it could be Loki back on the timeline doing something totally different. It's just called Loki. It doesn't have to be anything to do with the TVA, really.
No, I mean it's about that character.
We could have a whole series of. What if Loki, where it's all of the different variants, like the Hulk Loki and the whatever else, like all these different variants of Loki being like, I did a thing and like, I got the timeline got pruned. Like the end of each episode is like the TVA showing up and pruning, resetting the timeline. Oh, I would hate that so much, but I'd watch the shit out of it.
It's like Loki
would be such a creature feature kind of thing. Yeah.
They kill him off, and then the next week it's a whole different story. They don't even think about it.
Yep.
Like, oh, Loki's back.
Yep. Loki's back. He got murdered last
different
time.
Loki.
It's fine.
They just go pick up another one from the timeline. Oh, man.
Oh, come on.
You can go back to the Loki store. We need another variant Loki.
Oh, which one do we want?
The Loki store. They have what's the Loki aisle in Roxcart? Is that next to where the Roombas are?
I was gonna say it's gotta be near where all the vacuum cleaners are.
Yeah.
That's where they were this time. There were a lot of Lokis in that aisle this time.
Oh man. It could be every variant has a different aisle that they're in. Like one's in produce, one's over in the meat department.
Yeah.
This one's in deli.
It's a real meat market in here.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yep. This Loki's in the garbage can.
Most of the questions have pretty much been addressed, and I think we may have talked about this last week, but Jess Kamai writes, so does alternate timeline equal alternate universe, or are there multiple timelines linked to the same universe and multiple universes linked to the same timeline?
Yes.
The way I understand it is an alternate timeline. Is a timeline and a universe the same thing? The way I understand it.
Okay.
That seems to be the rules of this particular iteration of multiverse many worlds theory.
I mean, what's another iteration? I don't even understand how you have the... Well, yeah, let's end this episode on a good time travel debate.
Okay. Where do all the variants... Do they come from a separate universe or a separate timeline?
My understanding is when you split, because it's called the universe, this is the sacred timeline, it is the universe, but if you have them split, it becomes the multiverse, which is what they're trying to prevent. So timeline equals universe.
Right. But there's a dimensional theory in that, like, you know, first dimension is a line, second dimension is a plane, third dimension is three-dimensional space, like we see it. But like a two-dimensional creature would experience third dimension in cross-sections.
Yeah,
right. And the way that we experience the fourth dimension is in cross-sections, you know, as we think of time.
Yep.
And so the fourth dimension is basically time, all of time, for our one universe. But then if you shrink that down to, like, that is, you know, that is now this one instance of time, say the fifth dimension could be, you know, various possibilities of the timeline within that one universe. And then take that to another dimension is like all variants of the timeline in multiple universes. Like it expands on itself. It's been a while since I've watched the video that explains it, and it blew my freaking mind when I watched it the first time, so I'm not explaining it well. But like it's basically a snowball effect to get to, like, there's like 11 dimensions, and, you know, it's all possible versions of time, like the entire timeline in all possible universes simultaneously in one. Like it's a crazy thing. Like,
right.
I'll have to find the video.
The commonly recognized versions of time travel and multiverse versus, multiverse versus the Back to the Future version, right? Back to the Future version. Well, see, it's hard because even there, Back to the Future changes. But it seems to be that in a Back to the Future universe, you go back and change something, and it changes something on your timeline.
Yeah.
Marvel Universe has decided that when you go back, if you change something, you create a branch timeline. And actually, the way that Tony and Banner talk about it, you can't go back to your previous timeline. Like, when you go back, you are going back to a different universe, which is why they were willing to steal the stones from those universes, because those were not their universes. But then they find out, oh, we need to leave them here. We need to bring them back.
Well, what Banner says, your past now is your present or your future. So when you go back in time, it's your present, but it's also your past.
No, it can't be.
It can't be.
Right. Yeah. So it's got to be an offshoot timeline, because he says it can't be your past and your future, because that's the paradox that they're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
By making it that way. The other version of time travel that I understand is you have one universe, one timeline. You can go back and change it, but it overwrites itself. It's as if you're like, you can't have they're not splitting off. They're just like, you change something, now the timeline is this. You change something else, now the timeline is this. You change something else, now the timeline is this. It's just one ever changing timeline. I don't know of a version of that type of time travel that creates timelines within a universe. And it's also like, what are you calling a universe?
Yeah, I mean, there's we're getting to a large debate of theoretical physics that we're not qualified to have.
Definitely. We're starting to break into string theory a little bit too.
If you start mentioning
once you got to the 13th dimension, it's or 16th dimension, it's like, well, there's string theory right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a Loki show we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about Loki, I think.
So I think we've kind of hit our time. Like, I am so sorry we didn't get to more of you guys' feedback this week. We've got pages and pages left, and I'm trying to see if there's any short ones that we can run back and grab real quick. But honestly, like, the problem is we got a lot of really long ones this week. And as we mentioned last week, if you can get your feedback in and keep it shorter, we can get to more of them. But honestly, like, most of the ones that are left are about a page long. There's a few that are like half a page, but I think we may be out of time. So thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. And, yeah. What?
Sorry, I was Dr. Carol Berkeley.
Yeah, I was laughing at that message. He said, in what timeline does the Shazam movie starring Sinbad exist? Do you think Marvel would play with the Mandela effect theory in the MCU?
I can totally see it. Totally see it. It's called Kazam, right? There is a movie. It's just called Kazam.
It's called Kazam, and it stars Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, Sinbad was never in any movie called Shazam.
Anyway, let's wrap this up.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Hey, if you have the chance, it would be really, really helpful if you guys would throw us a 5-star review on iTunes. I meant to mention it at the top because we are, we really like it. As I mentioned, we're a small podcast. Like, it really is just started out me and Jeff, just us. Like, we don't have any kind of corporate backing or anything like that. We're not like we weren't a big network or anything. And like, because of you guys, we're still a very tiny network, but we do have we have now expanded. We have friends like Brian Decline and Ashley Coffin and Matthew Fox who come on with us and help us out, and we help them out. Like, we're starting to build a community of podcasters on top of the community of listeners who's already kind of built up around the show. And just want to say thank you for that. And if you are up for it, it would really help us out if you could go and give us a 5-star review on, Apple Podcasts, or hit us a thumbs up on Spotify or whatever, because hit us a follow on Spotify, because we're just trying to be more visible to more people so we can keep growing. It's really been a great time making these podcasts for you guys these last few months. I've just had a great time, so thank you. And thank you, BBK. When's your new podcast coming out?
Hopefully by this time next week. We're just waiting on one person who's covering his face right now.
Okay, good. Good luck with that.
We're hopefully going to record it sometime this week.
Cool.
I'll start reading the comic right now.
He's picking up the book to read it.
The name of the show is Source Pages. We cover books and comics that are source material and or primers for stuff or continuations of geeky movies and TVs we like, and it's... that our first one we're covering is Black Widow's Deadly Origin. It's a 4-part comic from about 10, 12 years ago that just gets you in the mindset for the Black Widow movie coming out in a couple weeks.
Awesome.
2 weeks! We got 2 weeks until that comes out!
But yeah, finally!
I love the idea of, like right, we're talking about Kang a lot. I love the idea of we can send people over and be like, hey, they're doing a primer on Kang right now. Go listen to that, you know?
We should do one for Uatu for What If.
For What If, we could do that. Yeah. We got stuff I already got thought up for, like, Eternal, Shang-Chi. Anything that is a newer property or an existing property, like the Hawkeye
right.
the run that was just Ms. from Marvel. A couple years ago that pretty much introduced... Yeah, Ms. Marvel, her first run.
Oh, you're talking about the Matt Fraction run of Hawkeye.
Matt Fraction run was real good.
That's going to be a really cool podcast, man. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, we're excited about it. Myself, Haley Hobbs, and other people are involved with it. And
sweet,
we're just hoping to get it off the ground next week or so.
That's awesome. Right. That's awesome,
Jeff.
Hey, Matt. I didn't do nothing except for not read. Okay,
we do the reading so you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we actually suggest you do the reading so you can play along with it. It's not the bingers assemble thing where it's like, we watch the movies, so you don't have to. For bingers, whatever, it's still good to watch the shows and the movies, but,
yeah.
You know.
Yep. Well, that was bingers. I should mention that while we're plugging things.
Oh, yeah. Fast 9's coming out.
Yes. Fast 9 comes out on Thursday, and me and Karen Hefstetler have been working so hard because we really wanted to do it in time, but like they put all the movies out at once, The Conjuring movies, A Quiet Place, and now Fast 9. They're all coming out so close together. So we've been doing like a Fast and the Furious movie almost every day. So like we've been dropping over in the feed. You got a few days left, and that is like Bingers Assemble is the podcast where we rewatch movies so you don't have to. And so like the idea is if you've seen the Fast and Furious movies before, but you don't really want to rewatch 9 movies or whatever to get to where we are, you can literally just listen to the podcast and we sort of break down the plots of each one and sort of talk about the characters. And we do it in sort of this efficient way where we sort of get through the plot, then the characters. And then we have like a more loose discussion that's just sort of fun if you just want to listen. But if you like, I kind of want to watch Fast 9, but I don't remember who these guys are, we do that. So that's it's fun. So Bingers Assemble, please check that out. We'll be back in late night Loki tomorrow night. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.